Here we are. It's time for our delectable moment with Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Hi, Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, the food maverick. I still
good
like maven.
Or afternoon, as it be.
Could well be. How are you?
Or even could be
good
night.
Day, Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, the food maverick.
Pardon me?
I said good day, Arthur Schwartz.
Oh, good
Schwartz,
day, good day. That's
maven,
a good
the
one.
Food maverick.
Good day.
Good
so
day.
Anyway.
Or whatever.
I've worked with some Australians, and I've been to Australia, so I can, some days I can do an Australian accent, but.
And
I
others
find it,
not.
I find it a very, very pleasing accent, by the way. People make fun of it because I think it was, you know, sort of it's an offshoot of Cockney. As we know, Australia was founded by criminals.
Supposedly, yeah.
Yeah. What did you say?
I said supposedly.
No, it's
no,
not
I know that that's what Botany Bay, but there's a
it's
whole
for real.
There's a whole
anyway.
I
don't want to talk about this today. This is you know happens to me sometimes. But I was thinking, what am I, a week ago after I got off the air with you, and what am I going to do next week? Because it's going to still be hot and we don't want to cook. And I said, sandwiches, perfect time to do a show on sandwiches. I have to say that since I decided that early last week, everywhere I look, there's a sandwich video, a sandwich article, how to make the best tuna fish salad in the world. Which is, by the way, not to fuss too much with it. And then the New York Times last Wednesday comes out with this double truck, the best sandwiches or the most iconic sandwiches of New York City. Well, I have to say that I did not recognize almost any of them.
Yeah, good.
And I it made my eyes glaze over. There were too many.
You have to have some sort of, I'm sorry to use this word, but you got to have some sort of curating going on.
Well, there was an editor, Nikita Richardson, who I don't really trust, but she does a lot of reporting. They all get things wrong. Or they're all not conscious of the rest of the world. For instance, Melissa Clark, who I'm very fond of and whose work I am very admiring of, and who, in fact, is one of my neighbors, Melissa recommended this extravaganza on a bagel from a place called Shelsky's Bagels. Now, I know Shelsky, and they do have high-quality bagels. I like the bagels. But everything in that store is overpriced as far as I'm concerned. So the one that she picked out, the sandwich she picked out, which has like a paper-thin slice of sturgeon on it, is $18. I guess I was more interested in the prices of these sandwiches than I was in the actual sandwiches. They were, some of them, quite expensive. I think a bagel and lox at Russ and Daughters Cafe is $20, but then again, a hamburger is $18 to $20.
None of that makes it okay. I mean, the prices have been raised to support. You know,
let me just say this place, Shelsky's, which is on 4th Avenue, doesn't get a lot of pedestrian traffic because who walks on 4th Avenue? It's a busy. It crosses Brooklyn and it's got like 8 lanes of traffic. People, there are on the other side of 4th Avenue, up by 5th, there are a lot of residences. In any case, everything is expensive there. In any case, so I'm thinking sandwiches. And I want to say that one of the most memorable sandwiches of my life, because I'm now old and I still remember it, is the grinder. Now, is the word grinder still used in Connecticut?
Yes.
It hasn't. Hero hasn't taken over.
No, but I always am interested in this aspect because, as you know, I was
you're the
in
Buffalo girl.
And
well, we're going to get to Buffalo.
Huh?
You have Buffalo has
a
sandwich that I adore.
Okay, well,
let me forget that
for a minute.
Pardon me?
And I said, forget that for a minute and forget beef on weck. I'm just talking about what grinder versus hero versus submarine sandwich.
Yeah.
That's Buffalo.
I don't know the West Coast words. Do you?
No.
I don't know either. I love it, a good hero, which I do get from my butcher, who puts together the most heroic hero in this part of the world. If it's a Sunday and I have to have one, and the butcher is closed. It's, by the way, the name of the butcher is United Meat. It's in Windsor Terrace, not Park Slope. And they have very high quality cold cuts. Really good roasted peppers go on there. They use good olive oil to douse the bread with good olive oil and vinegar, which is essential. By the way, so the grinder that of my childhood memory, I went to this camp on Gardner Lake until I was 15 years old. I don't know the name of the place, but at one end of Lake Gardner, or Gardner Lake, was a, and I think still is, a place where you can rent a canoe or a kayak and sit on, go swimming in the lake and sit on a raft. And then they had a little food stand, and they made sensational grinders. But the best thing about the grinder was, maybe not the best thing, but a good thing about the grinder was we kids who took a canoe to get to this place would only eat half our sandwiches. They were big sandwiches. And save the rest, smuggle them into camp. The next day, when the bread was really soggy, they were at their best. I this is a taste memory I can't get rid of. I don't want to get rid of.
Oh, and my anybody in the family that I was born in, and I could have been a changeling, just bear this in mind, will tell you that if you want to make my stomach turn, give me wet bread.
Well, see, this is it. I like wet. Now, let me just say that in Buffalo, where you're from, wet is really wet. Which
means it's a
bread with caraway, a lot of caraway, and salt on the top. We can't get that roll or bread here in New York City. I don't know if you can in Sharon. I doubt it.
Why? Because from Buffalo to New York, I mean, why? Because a lot of things just say regional.
I have to say that for me, a good seeded roll is for my roast beef. If it has good jus or gravy to dip into, is
right.
Fine with me. But when I can, I mean, these are sandwiches, by the way, that you just can't make at home because you can't get an essential ingredient like weck, which is, as I said, a roll with salt and caraway. And then you put on roast beef, thinly sliced, and usually they will for you dip the top piece of the bread roll
right.
In jus or gravy, but in a lot of places they just give you a little cupful so that you can, like a French dip is what they call it. That's another one, but the French dip you can make at home if you have some jus. Anyway, the other one, I mean, you can't make at home a muffaletta, which is a New Orleans sandwich on a round bread, originally inspired by a Sicilian bread and has lots of sesame seeds on it. This sort of flat round bread, not a big miche like we can buy in most places, but in New Orleans it's a special bread. And by the way, the sandwich dates back to Sicilian immigrants. A lot of things in New Orleans, you may be surprised to find out, come from the Sicilians who came in the early 19th century. Anyway, the muffaletta bread is split in half, and inside, sometimes they pull out some of the dough inside and put in an olive salad. Now, you can make this olive salad, but you can also buy the olive salad in a jar from... getting some. The name of the place that made the muffaletta famous, they sell it online. So take a look if you're interested. A muffaletta has the same kind of filling as what we call a hero sandwich. You would call a grinder. Some people would call a sub. I think most people know submarine now because of the Subway sandwich chain.
Oh, I don't... Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. You don't have fast food places where you are.
We don't have what?
You don't have much fast food, do you?
Yeah. Lots of fast food.
Well, things have changed since I lived there.
Grotesque amounts of fast food.
In fact, when I first moved up to the northwest corner, my neighbors would say, don't go to Goshen because there's a McDonald's there and all the bad kids hang out there. Anyway, I don't know. A sandwich to me is something I make in my own kitchen, and I frequently make sandwiches. We like tuna fish sandwiches. And
how do you
like egg salad sandwiches. I made shrimp salad the other day. We had shrimp salad sandwiches. Now, sandwiches, of course, are very dependent on the bread. Let's start with bread. So, you know, you got to choose your bread wisely here. Like a tuna fish sandwich, if it's just plain, by the way, let's do tuna for a minute. You know that canned fish has become very trendy. Are you aware of that?
No, I didn't, but that's always good to know.
Yeah, well, of course. So, you know, people are being now connoisseurs of canned tuna fish and canned mackerel and canned salmon even, which I always found a lot sort of stinky. But I buy what's called light tuna.
Right. Marshall was always solid white, and I grew up on solid white.
Well, I grew up on solid white also, but I don't buy it anymore. I find it too dry. I find I have to add more mayonnaise than I even do to the
darker. And I would just add more olive oil, but that's...
In olive oil, but I drain the oil. We don't eat the oil in the can.
No, that's true.
I drain the... I open the can. By the way, my new pet peeve is these tab-open cans.
Oh, does it fall off?
Pardon me?
I'm sorry. I have had three tab... When they first came out, they sawed off the tip of your finger. Now they're just coming right off the can before the can gets opened. So my
In my experience, they're still ripping off my finger. Until, in fact, the tab itself comes off.
Yeah.
Now, I wouldn't mind this so much if I could take my can opener and now open the can. But some of the cans with the tab tops do not accommodate your normal handheld can opener.
So I happen to have experienced that, and the solution is because it doesn't, and it's so frustrating because then your can you need the OXO Good Grip, you know, the big fat can opener with the it's OXO.
Yeah, actually, that's what I have.
All right, so I did find that my normal can opener that I've had since forever wouldn't open, that one would.
Mm. Well, my can opener, which is that OXO one, I've had for 30 years since they came out with it, probably, and it doesn't open some of them, and some of it does. Anyway, that's the tuna I like, but there was just, as I said, as soon as I thought of, oh, let's do sandwiches, everything I clicked on, social media, Google, everywhere I looked was a sandwich, including... there was one story on what the chefs like, their favorite tuna. Let me just say, I don't trust chefs.
Yeah.
So you tell me what their favorite tuna is, I take it with a grain of salt. At least I take it, it might pique my curiosity to try the tuna that they're using. For instance, there's one called American Fish or something like that, and a lot of chefs like it because it's sustainably caught. It's not that the product is any better. It's just that they like the way it's caught on a fishing line as opposed to a net. Anyway, I buy my tuna mostly at Costco, the Genova brand, which sounds Italian but is not. If you look at the bottom of the can, it's stamped with the country that it came from. And most of them are from somewhere in Southeast Asia. However, it's good tuna. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't care where it comes from, really. It's very good tuna, packed in olive oil. And because I buy it at Costco because they have larger cans. I think the Costco can is now 6.5 ounces. Maybe it's even 7 ounces is what they used to be. And the other tuna that I buy, which is more expensive only because it comes in a smaller can, 5.5 ounce can, is called Tonino. And that's what they have in my local supermarket. And it's not hugely expensive. It's like anywhere from $2.80-something to $3.29 a can. So if you think about it, that's a very cheap dinner. Anyway, we like tuna just shredded with a fork and a good amount of mayonnaise. And if I have the patience, some very finely diced celery. We like the little crunch of the celery and also bulks up the tuna. You can make one can of tuna enough for two people. And it makes two very nice sandwiches. Bob likes open-faced sandwiches. I think this is, you know, he does have some small percentage of Scandinavian.
Jill would sit next to Bob for that because, you know, but I don't know that I've got the Scandinavian.
No. I well, he doesn't really. I mean, it's so small, it doesn't mean.
But Marshall would just laugh. Like, no,
he likes open face. Does Marshall like open face?
Because the sandwich is about the bread in a lot of cases.
Yes, the sandwich is about. Listen, you have to start with the bread. So speaking of the bread, bagels are a kind of bread. But when I was a boy, ages ago, nobody made sandwiches on a bagel. My grandfather, Louis Sonkin, made salami sandwiches on a bagel, and that was considered revolutionary. Now, a bagel has a hole in the middle. What's it doing trying to carry some filling?
Right.
But actually, my friend Shelley Fireman, who's close to 100 years old now, he had the first place, and it's killing me that I can't remember the name. I'm going to have to call Shelley this afternoon. And it was his first of many, many restaurants, and he made sandwiches on a bagel. My grandfather, his tipping his hat to Shabbos would only work a half a day on Saturday. He was an electrical contractor. He would spend the morning going around to his different jobs to make sure the work was all done as it was supposed to, and then he would stop at the bagel bakery and get a bag of freshly baked bagels. By the way, in those days, the big thing was hot bagels. You wanted your bagels to be freshly baked because they didn't have any additives to make them last a long time. They were very dense, high-gluten breads that were best when they were freshly baked. So he would stop at the bagel bakery and get some bagels and also a Shmuelke Bernstein salami. That was his favorite salami, and for good reason. It was good. The salami would be sliced and made into sandwiches on the freshly baked bagels. And this was midday on Saturday. This was my grandfather-grandson bonding time. So I would do this with him, watch him make the sandwiches. Now, I have to do a little vocabulary if I'm going to use this correctly, but the word goyish means people, it's the adjectival form of people who are not Jewish, goys. So he would bring, one day he knew that my other grandfather, who in fact was a chef, had taught me how to use a knife. So he said, okay, why don't you slice the salami for the sandwiches this time? So I made the sandwiches, and he criticized them because he said there was, it wasn't a Jewish sandwich. It had more bread than filling.
Really?
To be a Jewish sandwich, it had to have more filling than bread. Now, you can imagine a bagel, which is already a high thing, to have a lot, as much salami in it. Did
he slice the bagel?
Yeah, slice in half.
Okay.
Right.
And
he said, you know, that's a goyish sandwich.
Hilarious.
And we need a Jewish sandwich. But you know what my grandfather was thinking of was probably white bread sandwiches, like tea time sandwiches, which in fact were mostly about buttered bread or mayonnaise bread with some little bit of filling.
Right.
That was a goyish sandwich for sure. Anyway, early on, bagels were not used for sandwiches, and I had a laugh when I saw this list in the New York Times where there were so many places that made extravagant sandwiches on bagels. But they're all for young people, Jill, because old people can't bite into two pieces of bagel and a big filling all at the same time. I know if I got a sandwich like that, I'd probably deconstruct it and make two open-faced half bagel sandwiches.
Yeah, I always kept them open-faced. If I had a sliced bagel, but I was a whole bagel eater. It's got nothing to do with sandwiches, but I would eat a whole bagel. My brother, as I was saying, he slices the bagel and then he takes out. He likes thin bagel. I don't know what to say. So he takes out, I would say, a quarter of the interior,
of the dough.
And then he piles it up on both sides and...
Well, he's trying to save carbs, I guess.
No, not at all.
No, he just doesn't like that much bread.
He just doesn't like that much bread.
Well, I can buy that.
Nova.
I don't think... I truthfully don't think a bagel is the right bread to make any kind of a sandwich. And if I want bagels, lox, and cream cheese, I'm eating it on a half a bagel.
Well, and that's all we're talking about, bagels, lox, and cream cheese, because that's not the taste I want for.
Well, it's
my
just
sandwich.
Too much. It's too much bread.
Yep.
So, you know, and I'd rather have the two. That way you get two open
faced. Exactly, but they're open faced too, so you must be Scandinavian.
Yeah, well, I must be. No. I always quote this, but I did do Ancestry.com just a few years ago, and it came back that I was 98% Eastern European Jewish. Which I figured, well, that's right. But then there was the other 2% was South Asian. I don't know how that got in there. But about a month or so later, I got a revised report which said, you're not 98% Eastern European Jewish. You're 100%.
Yeah, I would think so. But people, you know, you do know that people, never mind. I won't. There were some dubious, you know, people would take their Cheetos and send it a little crunchy and... find out that their Cheetos were, you know, 95% Eastern European. So there's an aspect to that is ungainly, unseemly.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, we make a lot of sandwiches around here, even when it's not 100 degrees outside.
Okay.
And I don't want to cook. We just like a good sandwich, but finding the right bread is always the key. I do not like white bread anymore. I can have a nice grilled cheese on white bread. That's because it's fried. But other than that, I can't think of any. And I use a white bread or brioche or challah for making French toast.
Right.
But as a sandwich bread, I want soft enough that I can actually bite into two slices at a time, but also whole grain. And I don't want what they now call whole wheat. I must say that 90% of the whole wheat that I buy, I don't buy it. I call beige bread. You know, it's basically white flour with just enough whole wheat flour to make it beige. It doesn't have enough fiber for me. It doesn't have enough graininess for me. And there are a number, I'm sure you have plenty too, of commercial breads now that have plenty of seeds or sprouted wheat you know what I did try and I liked it because I'm diabetic and I heard that it's good for a diabetic, Ezekiel bread. Have you ever had Ezekiel bread? Ezekiel bread is made with sprouted grain and is lower on the glycemic index than most other breads because of its whole grain composition, sprouted grain composition. Anyway, as a straight-out sandwich bread, I'm not thrilled with it, but it does make great grilled cheese sandwiches, and we're big on grilled cheese sandwiches around here. Now, I've tried a lot of different ways of making grilled cheese sandwiches, but one that I want to share with everybody really does work, although I don't do it much these days. Instead of butter, slather mayonnaise on the outside of the bread, both slices. Well, you can start with the slice that goes down and put on your cheese, and then you can put on the other slice of bread, and you can... At this point, I don't put the mayonnaise on. I just put a little weight on the sandwich, and I do, in fact, have a sandwich press that I use, and let it grill on one side, and then turn it over, and then put the mayonnaise on the other side and turn it over, and again put the weight on, and now you're going to do it over fairly low heat because you want the bread to brown, but you want the cheese to melt at the same time. You can figure it out, you know, like how high a heat in your pan that you're doing it in.
Somebody's going to have to figure it out.
So another sandwich that I don't make at home, but I always look forward to when I'm traveling, is a club sandwich. You know, one of the great things about American, and well, no, I shouldn't say American because they get in Europe also, about hotel room service, if you're lucky enough to be in a hotel with room service, is they almost always make a good club sandwich, which is to say bacon, lettuce, and tomato with either turkey or chicken, and I always ask for extra mayonnaise. And that, if I was stuck in my room anywhere, that would make me very happy, a club sandwich, because it's not something I do myself. The one that I do myself is egg salad, because I don't trust almost anybody's egg salad. And, I make my hard-boiled eggs so they don't have that green ring around them.
Right.
Which I put them in a pan with cold water, bring it to the boil, cover the pan, wait 12 minutes, and then peel the eggs. And then lately, I just discovered this. I've been using my pastry blender to chop the eggs. I have a very sharp bladed pastry blender that does an amazing job of chopping eggs. And then I could put celery in. I like it with some minced shallot. Onion's a little strong, maybe, if you have a red onion, minced red onion. And mayonnaise, salt and pepper, on nice whole grain but soft sliced bread. I'm getting myself a... And tomato.
That's good.
I can live without the lettuce, but I want
tomato.
You
cool your eggs, though, yes?
Yes. Well, by the time I'm finished peeling the sixth egg, I do six at a time usually, they're cool enough to cut up.
Just a warning for anybody.
And then I put it in the refrigerator.
Oh, that's a great idea. I'm going to do this. It's also a great way to...
Pardon me?
I said it's just a warning for anyone who goes, oh, wow, I haven't done that for ages. I think I'm going to do it. You know, you have to remember that the eggs need to cool down a little bit.
Well, it does. Like I say, I peel them under running cold water,
right.
And by the time I'm finished with the sixth egg, the rest of them are cooled enough to chop. So anyway, enjoy your sandwiches. We're going to have a very nice weather week. We may not need to eat just sandwiches.
But look at it. You're already ahead for trendy ingredients. You're already ahead for a couple weeks from now in July. So there. We're good.
Yeah, well, believe me, there'll be plenty of hot weather this summer.
Thank you for making us
hungry. I can talk about the trendy ingredients next week, but there are now trendy sandwich ingredients.
Yeah.
I wish all of you a very cool week and look forward to talking about other things next week.
And we thank you, as always.
Thank you.
Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven, Food Maverick on Robin Hood Radio.